When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Full windup by Clemens. And a swung on hit high in the air, deep to center field, way back. It may go. Gone! A grand slam! A grand slam! Mike Piazza!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, that line forms on the right base. Now that Maggie's back in town.
On this Monday morning, I got you for 4 hours till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We got Rami on the other side, and the Yankees are back. The Yankees are so back that everybody has to accuse them of cheating. The Yankee haters. It's a glorious morning for Yankee fans and a rough one for the Yankee haters who were so desperate. This is what this is. And we're going to get to the torpedo bats because I know you want to talk about it. Maybe we'll actually talk some real baseball to start the show. But I have... What's great about this weekend, as a Yankee fan, right? This is what I want to talk about first. Before we get into the offense and the home runs and the errors and the bullpen and everything that went with this series and sweeping the Milwaukee Brewers, and we'll get to the Mets as well. But what feels great as a Yankee fan, all of this talk all season long that they are not who they used to be, that the pinstripes don't mean squat, that the team isn't the evil empire, that they're just the Yankees. That's it. Now the beards are here, right? So they're not different in that aspect. They haven't won a championship forever. The Yankees are a joke. They can't even keep their great players anymore. They go to the Mets of all teams. The Mets are richer. The Mets are better well-run. The Red Sox farm system is here to stay. The Yankees are a laughingstock that haven't won a championship since 09, and everything is in the rear view, and nothing that they do now matters. They're just one of the other 30 teams in Major League Baseball. They just happen to play in New York. The historical nature of who the Yankees are is so far gone that it doesn't matter. That's what we've been told all offseason as Yankee fans, that none of this matters anymore. There is no tradition. There's nothing. They are just a regular old team. It means nothing anymore. Nobody wants to be here. Doesn't matter. No one cares about the pinstripes or the pedigree or the 27 championships or anything. It's all null and void. Welcome to just being part of everybody else. Until, of course, they have a weekend where they hit a bunch of home runs. Then they are the Yankee cheaters. Then... That's right, the evil empire is back. The haters who were so guaranteeing themselves a miserable season from the New York Yankees. They were sure of it. They could taste it. This was the year they would win 78 games. This offense stinks without Juan Soto. They're relying on so much youth. This lineup's a disaster. Without Juan Soto, what are they? One hitter who can't hit in the clutch? That's all they are. And then all it took was 3 days and the haters don't know what to do and they're clutching at straws and talking about bat shapes and talking about torpedoes and talking about cheating, and you got criers like McGill on Milwaukee crying about, oh, well, it's the Yankees, so they'll let it slide. What does that mean? I thought the Yankees aren't the Yankees. I thought the Yankees are useless. I thought the Yankees are nobodies and they're just like the Milwaukee Brewers. But somehow, some way, when they score 20 runs and follow it up by 12 and hitting 15 home runs and nine home runs in one game, and Aaron Judge proves he's the best hitter on the planet and hits four in the series, and you're getting three from Jazz, and you're getting two from Volpe, and back-to-back games where they have the leadoff hitter hit a home run, and then they thought for sure in game two they put out a punt lineup, and it sucks, and what is Boone doing? Already tinkering and tweaking. Can't he just let it go? We saw Wells hit a home run. Why is he not leading off again? The Yankees are stupid. The Yankees are the same old crap, and yet here they come, and all it takes is one three-game series where they score a ton of runs. And don't get me wrong, I know exactly what it is. It's three games against the Milwaukee Brewers. But if they were just the Yankees and they were just the same old team as anybody else and nothing else matters, we'd be talking about how Nestor Cortez threw three fastballs right down the middle to start the game, just like he did to Freddie Freeman in the World Series. But no, it's not just that they got three good pitches to start the second game of the season. They're cheating. Because this can't be. I was locked into a miserable Yankee season. As a Met fan, I was supposed to go to Houston and dominate the down Astros this year and watch this offense hit home runs all over the place and watch Juan Soto win us game after game. And I was ready to watch the Yankees' demise. And now it couldn't just be that the demise was, you know, not there just yet. Or it couldn't even be that the demise might take three games before it starts. No, no, no. It's that they're cheating to avoid the demise. They saw it coming. They knew what was happening this year. So they had to come up with torpedo bats so that they could save their season. Proof, Yankee fans, this is three games where they hit the ball out of the ballpark at an amazing rate. And I'm about to get into how much fun it was and everything we saw and what it could mean and what we could glean from it in real life baseball because it's three games. But as I sit here on this Monday morning, the one thing you can take to the bank is that the Yankees are not just the Yankees. The Yankees are not just another team. The Yankees' aura and pinstripes are not gone. The idea that they're the evil empire is not so far in the distant past that it is no longer meaningful. Because the second they do something that surprises people, out come all the haters, out come all the doubts, and out come all the, this is so Yankee typical, classless organization who cheats at everything, and we've known they've had steroid abusers, and they've had this, and they've had that, and now they're coming up with a phony bat, that, you know, a bunch of crybabies. That's exactly what this is. This is a bunch of Yankee hater, crybabies who are dire to see the Yankees fail, and they thought it was coming, and hey, it still might. Hang on there, guys. It's only 3 days. But man, oh man, the amount of crying about the domination that the Yankees had over a three-game series against Nestor Cortez, who threw three straight fastballs, and Aaron Civale. Like, they didn't what happened the first game of the series? I know it was cold out on opening day. What'd they do against Peralta? They didn't mash the ball all over the place. They faced two pitchers who aren't any good right now. Nestor Cortez threw a bunch of fastballs right down the middle. They got into the middle of their bullpen, and this Yankee team dominated, and so we have to cry about it. And so, Yankee fans, take a second. Take a deep breath and enjoy the fact that everything they said about this organization and franchise is BS, because the second this offense went off, out came all the haters to try and poo-poo it. If they were just another team, if there was no aura, if they weren't the Yankees, the haters would laugh it off and say, hey, nice weekend, fellas. But no, they're pissed off about it. They're pissed off about it, and the Yankees are cheating. That's what made this a special weekend. That's what made this fun. What made it fun was all the crybabies coming out of the woodwork. That's what made it great. Not the winning three games, although that was fun, and hey, you don't give back wins. Three games to start the season. Hey, we saw five last year. But three games where they absolutely pounded the baseball, hit 15 home runs, hit 9 in game 2 of the series alone. Aaron Judge hits three home runs, four in the series. Three from Chaz Chisholm. I knew I would say it. Chaz Chisholm. Two from Volpe. Two from Wells. What we saw from Goldschmidt, who looks anything but washed up to start the year. The element from Bellinger, like, and if you watch this lineup, I know they hit all these home runs. And now let's get into actual baseball. But we had to lead with what a great weekend it was for the Yankee fan to laugh at all the people who told them all year long that they're meaningless, that it's not anything special to wear pinstripes. No one cares. There's no aura. And then the second they do something, everybody has to cry. It was amazing. Amazing drinking up all the tears from the Yankee haters who can't stand it when they thought the season was going to be terrible and the offense was going to be terrible. And they're the hottest team in baseball for the first three games. So you know what? I understand they still need a third baseman. I understand the pitching wasn't all that good from the starting rotation. I understand they had five errors in game two. I don't think anybody's looking at it thinking the Yankees are unstoppable. But you know what? They hit better than any team in baseball this weekend. They're the story of baseball leaving the weekend, and all the haters are crying about it. And it was glorious. Now, actual baseball, because you saw more than just home runs. And you're watching this team. And again, I'm going to preface it. I'm going to stop prefacing it after this. We all know it's three games. But we saw a young, athletic lineup that, yes, was powerful, no doubt. Ben Rice hits one out. Obviously, what you saw from Jazz Chisholm, who is going to be extremely important if they're going to continue to hit him behind Aaron Judge, who walked three times in this game today or yesterday. His element of speed and power, I mean, you could be looking at a 30-30 guy. But what we saw was the athleticism. What we saw was Bellinger having three sacrifice flies. How many times have we seen that runner not score? How many times have we seen him stranded at third over the last couple years? How many times have we seen a fly ball to center field and the runners from first and second both advance? When's the last time we've seen so many guys go from first to third on a base hit? Even to left field. The speed, the athleticism, the youth, all on display because they scored with small ball and infield ground balls and sacrifice flies and base hits. They pounded the baseball and they hit a ton of home runs, no doubt. But they also did a lot of things good, and they have good at-bats and quality at-bats all the way through. This is not a team 3 days in that feels like the same old crap we have seen, even last year. And I still will tell you Plan B sucks, and I wanted Juan Soto. That's not going to change. I can't change it off 3 days. And maybe I will. Maybe I'll prove myself to be wrong. But watching this lineup, it feels like there are good at-bats all the way through. It feels like it's deeper. It feels like they have answers at the bottom of the lineup. It feels like they have speed and athleticism and different ways to score despite hitting all these home runs. That was as good an offensive display as we have seen from the Yankees in a long time. And they did it a bunch of different ways. And then they get they're just, in my mind, they're doing smart things as well. Like, we kill them for being stupid, pulling Dominguez out for defense. You've got, in my mind, Grisham, Bellinger, Judge. That's as good a defensive alignment at the end of games as there is in baseball in the outfield. I love what they've done with the leadoff hitter with Wells and obviously Goldschmidt and getting Goldschmidt going, because we know this, right? There's a lot of ifs with the Yankees. Totally true. But we see what happens if we get the answers correct, because Goldschmidt is an MVP a couple years ago. Goldschmidt, other than last year, has had nothing but quality seasons his entire life. And I know when you're 37 and last year is the worst year of your career, that's the beginning of the end. It doesn't have to be necessarily. And he's been great to start. He's been hitting singles and getting walks and hitting home runs. And what Bellinger's been able to do, they're not striking out for the most part. They're putting the ball in play. They're scoring a bunch of different ways, and they are smoking the baseball. We will get to the torpedo bat and the nonsense of it. This is now a bat that has been approved by Major League Baseball. The Yankees are openly talking about it. There were interviews in the Post about it at the end of February, We have now seen, in my eyes, at least two other teams. There's reports that five other teams are using these bats. The Boston Red Sox talked about how they're dabbling with it, and they've dabbled with it in spring training. Cody Bellinger said he used this bat in spring training last year with the Cubs. This is not a hidden thing. A guy from MIT, while with the Yankees, developed this bat, but it is certainly making its rounds. He's no longer with the Yankees. He's with the Marlins. This bat is making its rounds around Major League Baseball. We have seen changes with the bat over the course of the history of baseball so many freaking times that the idea that somehow this is novel is just blowing my mind. We have seen bats made of different woods, rather, from maple to birch to whatever. We have seen knobs be ridiculously big. We've seen no knobs at all. We've seen thin handles. We've seen thicker handles. We've seen barrels at the very top with it carved out and hollowed out at the top. We have seen a bunch of changes to baseball bats, and there are a million different varieties of baseball bats that is used throughout Major League Baseball. That the idea that this is such a novel idea. The only reason this happened is because the Yankees went off and nobody wants to see it. And that's how you know they're still the Yankees. Because if it was the Marlins, it'd be a feel-good story. If it was the Minnesota Twins, everybody would love it. If it was anybody else, everybody would be cool with it. But because it's the Yankees, maybe the Dodgers too. And maybe the cheating Astros, maybe. Probably not. But because it's the Yankees, it's a major scandal in the eyes of all the haters. It was a glorious weekend. They pounded the baseball. They won all three games. Every day was a freaking party. It was never in doubt. We got to watch, and we'll do a little more on Aaron Judge, the greatest hitter in baseball be the greatest hitter in baseball. And it doesn't need to be prefaced with months. We don't have to talk about April through September. We don't have to talk about October. Here's the bottom line. The greatest hitter in baseball was hitting third for the New York Yankees yesterday and on Saturday, and he's going to prove it all year. And Aaron Judge last year had arguably the greatest right-handed batter season we have ever seen in Major League history, and he did it while being a miserable hitter the entire month of April. If he gets off to a hot start, who knows where this season goes for him? Who knows? But we know where it has to end for people to shut up. And that's on him. And I have full confidence that that will happen. But there's a lot of baseball to be played between now and then. And after 3 days, the Yankees are the hottest offense in the sport. The Yankees look completely different than at times last year, even with Juan Soto. The lineup is deeper. The lineup is younger. The lineup is faster. The team is younger and more athletic. And they're powerful. And for 3 days, the Yankees got to laugh in the face of everybody who doubted not only them, but the Yankee organization and the pinstripes.
Fire the torpedoes!
Fire the torpedoes! We'll be playing that. We'll be playing home run highlights as Dave Sims had one hell of a weekend to get introduced as Yankee play-by-play guy with a million different home runs. So we'll have a lot of fun. We'll get into the Mets as well, and why I would tell you that I am taking a major positive out of the Mets series that they lost 2 out of 3 in Houston. We'll get to it a little bit later, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. But we start with the Yankees, their power surge, and the dominance over all the haters and crybabies. It was tremendous.
Jazz-jism.
888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back with your calls, and we'll take you all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show right here on The Fan. All right, 125. We got you for another 3.5 or so as we take it till 5 o'clock. We'll get to the Mets as well. Obviously, the final four, all four number ones. Knicks with a victory over Portland, but kind of feels like the Knicks are just in a holding pattern waiting for the return of their leader, their captain, their superstar, Jalen Brunson, as they are pretty much locked into the three now. And we will see what happens. Obviously, Mets and Yankees are the story, and the torpedo bats. the torpedo bats that have been ruled legal by Major League Baseball that are used by several other teams already this season that everybody is crying about, sending me ridiculous Photoshop pictures like, you know, and I think there are a couple people who believe the Photoshop pictures are real.
They had one of those giant red fungo bats
on
MLB Network.
Bag. Yeah, sure. If you look at it, they're not that drastic. And again, like, it's just moving the barrel down a little bit. If you hit it where the normal barrel was prior, it's going to not be as powerful. Like, it's just, they found that Anthony Volpe hits more balls on the label than most. They moved it down for him. Other people turned out to like it. It makes it feel a little bit lighter, according to Bellinger, because the weight's kind of more in the middle of the bat. Other teams can use it. Everyone can use it. Everyone has it. All teams have had it, messed around with it. It's not unique. It's not a secret. Like someone's comparing it. Oh, man, you complained about the Astros, but complained about the Astros. I don't remember the broadcast team talking about you. Now, do you hear those bangs? Now, those bangs are actually done with the garbage pails in the dugout while they watch it on film, giving the signal to the hitter. The Yankees talked about it on the broadcast. You can't compare it to the cheating scandal of the Houston Astros. No one is hiding from this thing. They got the bats checked out by Major League Baseball. This is so ridiculous. And that's what's great about it. As a Yankee fan, that's what's great about it. Because it wasn't just a really great weekend of baseball and fun. And we know what it is. It's three games. They're about to go play the Arizona Diamondbacks and face three really good pitchers. Three really good pitchers. They might score three runs the next three games. Who knows? But this weekend was fun. The lineup looked young and athletic, which doesn't slump. And it was just a fun weekend, but what was great about it for Yankee fans, or at least let me speak for myself, everybody crying that the Yankees were performing at a high level. That's what was great about it. All the bitching and complaining. All of the losers who are, you know, guaranteeing themselves the demise of the New York Yankees for 3 days, couldn't believe what they... This lineup's supposed to be worse. They don't have Juan Soto. They're relying on all these kids. They're having a catcher as their leadoff hitter. And then for 3 days, they had to watch it as they absolutely pounded the baseball to historic levels. It was glorious. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Chris, me and you are going to be the voice of reason all year. I'm going to be the rational Met fan. You'll be the rational Yankee
fan. I'll try my best.
Let's make a pact.
Okay.
By overreaction weekend.
Yes.
Right? We all saw this coming. The Yankees are going to lead the league in runs, and the Mets are going to have a lights-out pitching staff. We all know this.
You know what? You're not kidding, and I'll tell you, I teased it a little bit. That's why I kind of take it as a positive for the Met weekend. I'll be totally honest with you. I know they lost 2 out of 3, and that's never a positive. But I got to tell you, I have faith the offense will turn around. I'm nervous about the starting pitching. And even Clay Holmes wasn't that bad. And Griffin Canning looked really good. And McGill looked excellent. So, like, I mean, I know they lost 2 out of 3. But ultimately, I know the offense is going to eventually turn it around.
Two quick points.
Yeah.
First of all, Yankee, you should be proud. Hal's taking a book out of George's book. He's cheating like George would have. George wanted to win. You should be ecstatic.
That's it. Hey, listen, anything to win, right?
Okay. So it took game three for the Met fans to question Mendoza on a bullpen move.
Yep.
And I so wish I could have talked to you Saturday night. Every guy he brought in, 4 shutout hitless innings.
Yep.
No one said Mendoza won the game. But why did he let Canning pitch to Mendoza?
Yeah, Alvarez. Yep.
Guys, he's trying to build up the guy's confidence. Because you know if Buddha would have came in, Buddha would have definitely got him out.
Of course.
It's game three, and it's already I'm not going to delve on it all year. We talk about this ad nauseum, but it cracks me up.
The reason they lost is because the offense didn't score. Not a single bullpen move, nothing else. No, the run didn't score any runs.
Now, the date night before, when he brought in Minter, I'm listening to the game. He's bringing in Minter. And I'm saying, why is he bringing in Minter? Because all these righties. I even said, this may not work out like a charm.
Yep.
No one said Mendy won that game.
Nope.
So this is what we're facing. Overreaction weekend. And listen, don't worry about it. You got to cheat. George cheated. George wanted to win
it. It's not cheating.
I know. I'm only kidding.
I know. I get you. I hear you. It's funny to me how many people are ready to call the Yankees cheaters and making a big deal out of it. It's hilarious.
But listen, I'm a Mets fan. You know, I could see how this year is going to play out. I've got to stay calm because it's going to drive us nuts. But the whole Soto thing in itself is like, oh my God, people are crazy. I couldn't believe the responses. But yeah, and I've talked to you about it. Seriously, I said to you, Chisholm, what people don't realize, Chisholm's 26, and he was never healthy in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He never played 150 games the last year. If this guy stays healthy, you know, he can be a big key to your success.
No,
this year.
I mean, there is no doubt he is an enormous key, and thank you for the call. He is an enormous key to the Yankees' success. His ability of power and speed, if he hits home runs and gets on base, and again, we've seen it a couple times now, walking Judge. And him coming through with a big home run or a big base hit. Like, we've said this forever. The guy hitting behind Judge is very important. Hell, the guy's hitting in front of Judge. Judge is the compliments around Judge. You want guys on for him so they can't pitch around him. And then you want a dangerous hitter behind him so they can't pitch around him. Now, as they were talking about on the broadcast, and I understand Joe Girardi's point, and I guess I see it to a point, that it's more important to have the guys on in front because there's not another hitter in baseball, you know, this side of Ohtani, Juan Soto. Like, there's not another hitter in baseball that you could put behind Judge and say, oh, man, I'm really nervous about walking Judge here to get to, you know, you name him. It's very difficult, no matter what kind of season. Like, I can't imagine Jazz having the kind of season that would ever make them question. Like, at different times, if Judge is, you know, one for his last 14 or two for his last 35, which happens over the course of the year, maybe. But for the most part, over the year, you're not going to get a good enough hitter behind Judge to really make you want to make you say, oh, I can't walk him. You want guys on because then you're afraid of the beginning. You want guys on. So you could argue having better hitters in front of him is every bit as important, if not more important, than behind him. But that doesn't change the fact he's going to get walked and Jazz has to come through, or whoever's behind him, whether it's Jazz, whether it's Bellinger at times, or whether it's Goldschmidt, or whether it's Wells, or whoever it is. It's going to be that part of the lineup's going to get opportunities because you saw it in this game. Judge is an absolute beast. He hits three home runs and hits an absolute bomb today, or yesterday now. And they walked him three times after that home run. Why mess with him? And I'm sorry, but, like, watch the games. I know, you know, I'm getting it now because they're using a bowling pin bat. Did you see the bats? Do the bats look that different to you? Like, you make it sound like it's Popeye's forearm. They have to be within a measure. The barrel can't be bigger.
It's actually the exact same size.
It's the exact same size. The barrel's the exact same size. It has to be a certain, it can't be a certain width or else it would be illegal. So the barrel has to be a certain size. It's the exact same size. It slid down slightly a little. That's it. The idea that is the difference between the Yankees sucking and hitting 9 home runs in a game. I know they exploded for a lot of runs. They scored more than 30 against Milwaukee last year. And honestly, go back and watch the game. Nestor Cortez had absolutely nothing. And for a guy who threw in the World Series, right? And we all kill Boone, except me, of course, because I'm a Boone shill. And I have audio of him mispronouncing my name. I guess I should use it, but that's okay. So many people mispronounce my name. I guess he did some promos for the station. I've been waiting for him to actually play the promos to use it, but anyway. We're killing Nestor Cortez for the World Series, really Boone bringing him in. Watch Nestor Cortez in the World Series. He threw two pitches in that game one. Right down the pipe to Ohtani, got him to pop up. Right down the pipe, fastball, right down the pipe. First pitch, he threw two pitches in that game. Fastball right down the middle to Ohtani, popped it up. Fastball right down the middle. Obviously, you know, the intentional walk. Right down the middle to Freeman, and he hit the grand slam walk-off. He threw three straight fastballs right down the middle. The Yankees were sitting fastball. They know Cortez likes to throw fastballs. He threw three straight fastballs right down the middle, and they got absolutely bombed. That's just bad pitching. And then you look at the ball. Like, let's be honest. If it was just the bats, how come a first baseman and Jake Bowers can get them out? Like, it's just, like, it's we're being silly. The barrel is slightly moved down. The idea that this is some sort of, like, cheat code to have everybody in your lineup hit home runs, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You think the Yankees are going to hit 6-7 home runs a night now because of these bats? What are you, stupid? They had an explosion. They got hot. They had some good at-bats. That's what happened. It's funny. I will tell you, the one I'll give you, and especially because the bats were designed, apparently, if you read the article, back in February, hiding it. Back in February, articles were written about the Yankees and this bat, specifically for Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe's home run on opening day, he was jammed.
One pitch, jammed him.
Jammed him.
Hits it to right field. That's a good jam shot. It's on the track. Looking up. It's gone. Oh, my goodness. Off the middle of the bat, Anthony Volpe muscles one out.
And that was before.
The Yankees have a 2-0 lead.
And that was before we even knew about this torpedo bat. That's true.
Said, off the middle of the bat.
Yeah, off the middle of the bat. He jammed him. Not if we jam him. Only one man would dare give me the raspberry. I hope you guys are Space Jam fans. Spaceballs fans. I don't think he is. I don't think Rami has any idea about Spaceballs. Only one man would dare give me the raspberry. So, yeah, he got jammed and still hit it out. I'll give you. I know. I always get on Rami for his age. He's pushing back in my headset. That one I'll give you. I was surprised that ball got out. Other than that, look at the swings of the home runs. They're all good swings. Like, and some of the home runs are Yankee Stadium home run, line drive home runs that just think over the wall that we've seen for years. I'll give you the Volpe one stands out to me as a ball I never thought was getting out. Other than that, they put really good swings on bad pitches and had a great week and a great weekend. And honestly, looking back, look at their spring training. I know nobody cares about spring training numbers, and I'm not trying to tell you you should, but now that this weekend has like solidified it, go back and look what Bellinger was doing all spring long. Go back and look what Wells was doing all spring long. Go back and look at Jazz and his home runs. Go back and look. The Yankees were pounding the baseball all spring. Maybe they've carried that into the season. Maybe it won't last long. It's 3 days. But I love the idea that we are looking for excuses because it couldn't just be that the Yankees' offense is better than we thought. No, they're cheating. That's how you know they're back, baby. Roxy in Nova Scotia. What's up, Roxy?
How are you? I have actually not even spoke to you guys since way back when I was a little girl in my uncle's car in Nova Scotia, legit. And Joe Benigno is probably going to shoot me for missing this. Can we also just say this, too? Every New York sports team is cursed. Okay, I have to say this. I'm going to be the devil's advocate. We're cursed. Glenn's done. If Fields comes to the Jets, he's done. We curse everybody. We're cursed.
Okay.
We really are. I miss you guys so much. How is everybody? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to catch
it's
up, Roxy.
Flipping hot minute. Eric had told me and Ray to call in with Joe, but I mean, he's old and he sleeps in like a senior now with his pudding and stuff, right? So
yeah.
I miss everybody.
I mean, I think he's still on Saturday mornings if you're not too busy.
I know. It's crazy. I'm actually between Canada and the U.S. right now with work. I work on TV, believe it or not. I'm not that little girl anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. I was sitting back and I'm like, Chris is there. You were, I think, under Ray way, way back. And I miss the actual politics of sports because Canada doesn't have it anymore. We suck on every level. I was born in the wrong
country.
Yeah,
but you did win the hell out of that hockey game.
Oh, my God. Can you? I know. We're not for sale. We're not for sale. And
no?
our game is not
That's
for sale.
That's what I'm saying. You can become the 51st state and have your own cursed sports teams.
You know what? Legit, it's really funny because, you know, I live just outside of Toronto, right? Mm-hmm. So the Raptors, the Leafs, and everyone's like, oh, do you hit up? No, I watch my Rangers, my Yankees, and my Jets. And they're like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from here. you know, that was since I was a little girl, though. That's dedication, honestly. The Jets, you know, embarrassingly enough, and Joe, I really hope he'll never hear this. I will never give up on them. But sports took a turn this year, and what you were just saying, the cheating, everything's back. Yeah, you're right. It's crazy, though. I feel nothing is the same as it was. It's about the money now. There's no passion in the sport anymore. You know, it's hurtful.
Yeah, and Roxy, I really appreciate the call, especially from all the way in Nova Scotia and catching
Thank
up
God
with
for
you.
Drugs.
Thank God for drugs. I don't know. That's a cynical way to look at it. I mean, it's you're not wrong in many ways. We see what's going on with the college game, and they're getting paid, and already St. John's is wheeling and dealing, making big moves, spending money for the NIL. There's a lot of things. Players change teams a lot. The unions are so, together when it comes to negotiations for the CBAs and everything, that you don't get the same rivalries, you don't get the same bitterness between players as much. Everyone's a family. You don't see a lot of, we saw Draymond Green even, besmirch, for lack of a better term, Carl Anthony Towns, and the Knicks still dapping him up at half court. Like, it's just, it is what it is. It's a little bit different. I don't know if it's all about money. Obviously, they make a hell of a lot more money. But I think players genuinely want to win. Right? I think they're going out there trying to win the game. I mean, sure, do they go home to their mansions and get over it maybe a little bit quicker than you or I do? Yeah, I would say that's plausible, and we've been experiencing that for a long time. But I choose not to be cynical, Roxy. I tried to find the joy in sports, and that's why I would say this to Yankee fans, because I had a couple already that I'm going back and forth with about just not, Aaron Judge hits a home run. I call him what unbelievable, what a great hitter. Yeah, sure. In the regular season, like, all right, is that what you want to be 3 days into this year? Do you want to be that guy? Do you want to be Randy Quaid in Major League Two? Is that who you want to be? Do you want to be standing up going, they'll blow it in the playoffs? And the Yankees hit their 15th home run of the season. They've scored 36 runs this series, and they sweep the Milwaukee Brewers for the first series victory of the year. Yankees take a 3-0 lead in the division. Yeah, still need a third baseman, though. Like, yes, they do. I agree with you. They still need a third baseman. But can we push that aside and enjoy the weekend where they just killed the Milwaukee Brewers? Like, can you enjoy it for 5 minutes without screaming about Brian Cashman sucks, or, we still need a first baseman, a third baseman, rather. Oh, still made 5 hours on Saturday. Still made 5 hours on Saturday. Sloppy baseball team. That's all true. No one's denying it. But you can go through the weekend with just saying, holy crap, this lineup was unbelievable this weekend, and I didn't see it coming. Eli in the Bronx might claim he did. What's up, Eli?
Yeah, what's going on, C-Mac? I think you got to wake up and smell the coffee. This lineup is a lot better than last year's lineup. Just look at it, and you see that that's a lot better than last year's, with Soto, without Soto. And by the way, I think we're going to call this the 7 steps of Judge grief. They're having grief that they overpaid $100 million to a guy that strikes out a 3-2 a game on the line. Strikes out. They're having grief that Judge has
Eli,
more homers than the
Eli,
whole Mets team.
They're having grief.
The 7 stages of grief that Judge has more homers than the whole team, more ribbies than the whole team, more walks than the whole team. What else does he have more?
No, the offense was putrid in Houston. There's no doubt about it. The one hit they had on Saturday was pretty much a pop fly ball off the wall in the short porch in left field. Other than that, they practically hit.
Seven steps of Judge grief: overpaying Soto for $800 million. Judge is getting a third of the money.
Yeah.
Seven steps of Judge grief. Wait.
How many steps again? How many steps?
7 steps.
The seven steps
of Judge grief.
Can you name all 7?
Way, T-Mac, yeah, okay. 7. We're loser Mets fans. That's where all 7. All 7 of them. All 7
oh,
Mets
the
fans.
Oh, the 7 line. Maybe the 7 line
yeah,
steps
the seven
of...
Line.
Okay, there you go. Not bad. The 7 line steps of Aaron Judge grief. Yeah, yes.
T-Mac.
Yes.
75 homers for Judge over on there. I'm slamming the over.
Oh, yeah. Nail that. Bet that.
By the way,
if you can even find that number still, I'm surprised the over-under on the sports book is an 82.
It's at 82. It's on 90. C-Mac. And by the way, Yankees. One quick flash.
Yeah, please.
Do you think the Yankees could go 162-0?
I would think it's possible, Eli. It's more likely them than almost anybody else.
They're on pace.
If you just go by average. A couple things there that I do want to just talk back before Met fans go crazy. It is, as much as I will downplay, or at least, you know, talk about how I still believe in Judge in the postseason, you can't bring up clutch moments because on the first game of the year, Soto struck out when Judge was awful in the playoffs and he was hitting the home run to send them to the World Series. Like, let's just take a second. It's all because we got plenty to crow about. If you want to have fun three games in, we got plenty of things. Let's not go with the clutch nation. You want to talk about even the contract? Contract is fair. You want to talk about how much they're paying? Because right now, let's be totally honest, this is actually, I was thinking about this, the best contract in all of baseball, without question, and maybe the best contract ever in the history of professional sports is Shohei Ohtani. That contract and the deferments and what he's making now and what the Dodgers are able to do with that money that they're not paying him at the moment, the money they're making off of him, the idea that it brought Yamamoto and it brought Sasaki, like, that is the best contract at $700 million that they'll have to pay him eventually. But that's the best contract in the history of sports, in my mind. The second best contract in all of baseball might be Aaron Judge, because what he does now for $40 million a year is, I mean, how can you not say it's such a great bargain? $40 million a year for the best hitter in baseball? That's a bargain. And if you want to compare it to the Soto contract, I don't think there's any doubt. The next 4 or 5 years, because I still think Judge can do it for 4 or 5 more years, despite that pushing him up to 37, 38. That's the kind of physical specimen he is. We don't know, and I wouldn't bet my life on it, but I feel fairly confident we're looking at 4 to 5 years of still having prime, close to prime Judge. It might be pushing it, but I feel pretty good about that. For the next 4 or 5 years, the Judge contract is so much better than the Juan Soto contract, because unless Soto starts winning World Series, and then I'll have to shut my mouth and change my tune, Aaron Judge is the better offensive player. He's the better offensive player. And they're getting him for $15 million less a year. When you add up all the perks, probably $15, $16 million less per season than Soto's getting. That's a bargain. It's a bargain. Because Judge is unbelievable. And I know he struggled in the postseason, and it's something he's going to have to live with, something we're all going to have to live with, and all the Judge lovers are going to have that thrown in their face until he does something different. And I understand that, and they're not wrong when you say it. It doesn't change the fact that baseball is about 162. It just is. You want to look at it, you know, Willie Mays has an under 700 OPS in the postseason. I mean, there are guys, Barry Bonds, up until his final postseason in, like, you know, 2002, like, he was terrible. Like, there are plenty of guys who are great players who didn't live up, who didn't play well in the postseason. It doesn't change things. It just doesn't. All it does for me is make a player beloved or less beloved with their organization. And yeah, the great ones come up in the big moment, obviously. But to me, when you're just talking pure hitters and you look at the 162, Aaron Judge is so far and away the best offensive player in the game. And to get him for $40 million, it's an absolute steal. He is worth every single penny, because he is an absolute force. He is a dynamo. Look at what he did. I mean, he just changes the game. And I'm telling you right now, if this isn't just a blip where he just happened to have a great couple days, if he's like this in April, I mean, the last caller was being a little sarcastic, at least I'd like to think so, with the 75 or over, but, like, he's gonna hit 60 again. Like, easy. Like, we saw last year, as great as he was miserable in April. If he's hot in April, you could be looking at one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen. Like, that's how good he is. That's how capable he is. Like, he's an absolute monster. He's an absolute monster. And look at him. Look what he's already done. Look at the RBIs he already has, the home runs he already has. He's got, it's three games, but, like, last year, the three games, he was terrible for a long time. He did nothing in Houston last year, struggled through all of April. It was early May. We're still talking about, when's Judge going to come out of it? Is there a problem? Is his toe still bothering him? Like, remember all those conversations a month in? If Judge is hot for April, he could have one of the great seasons we've ever seen, because that's where he is as a hitter. That's where he is as a hitter. He's that good.
He's that good. He's one of the best we've ever seen, and he's the best in the game currently, at least as an offensive player. I still have to preface it. It doesn't make me happy to say it, but we haven't seen him pitch just yet. But when Ohtani is pitching, Ohtani's the best player in baseball. He's arguably, in my mind he is, but I'll say arguably, the greatest player to ever play the game. You can't be better at baseball than Ohtani is. You just can't. You can't be the hardest pitcher to get a hit off and hit 50 home runs. Like, you can't, like, to do both, to be the most difficult pitcher to get a hit off of and to be the second or third best offensive player in the game, I mean, it's another level.
Did you see he had a setback? I feel like no one's talking about this.
I didn't see that.
Ohtani had a setback.
With his arm?
Yeah, I think it was the end of spring training, maybe the last week of spring training. It still could potentially come back, but they did shut down his throwing
okay.
at some point in spring training.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I heard Jeff Passan talk about it.
Yeah, like, all right.
It was an old interview from a week and a half ago.
No, I believe you. I'm just saying I missed it. Yeah, no, because he hasn't pitched yet. So as long as he's not pitching, Judge is the best player in baseball. When he is pitching, Judge is the best offensive player in baseball. Because there's no doubt, with the way Ohtani throws, he's the best player to ever play the game. He just is. You can't be better. You can't be better at baseball. He pitches any hits at top of the league performance. Like, it's unheard of to do it for as long as he's done it. Now, if he's never able to pitch again, we got to see him on the mound and we got to see him do it well. Offensively, he's the top two or three player in the game. And pitching wise, I wouldn't put him that high, but his strikeout percentage, his batting average against was the best in baseball 2 years ago. The best. That's pretty impressive. Pat in Astoria, what's up, Pat?
Chris, how are you?
Good, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. You know what? I hate you and I love you.
Okay. Have you been talking
fair,
to my
right?
wife?
What?
Have you been talking
to
my wife?
There you go.
Because I think she feels exactly
maybe
the same.
Maybe mine and your wife are the same.
Yeah.
But anyway, first time I've ever called a radio show.
Really?
Yes. First time. I'm 57. I'm just like you. I'm a diehard Yankee fan.
Yep.
I'm a diehard Ranger fan, and I'm a diehard Giant fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, baseball I don't follow because I never played it.
Okay.
But anyway.
That's fine.
Your take on the Yankees
yeah.
is so good, so in there. You know what? It was only three games, like you said.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was the best three games that the Yankees have ever had to start a season.
Offensively, yes. I think you can go back to even last year. Now, this was like kind of more fun and more of a party atmosphere, but
yes.
to go into the nemesis is building, and that's who they've been for the Yankees over the last 7 to 8 years. To go into that building where it's been a house of horrors for the New York Yankees and take all four of a four-game set with Juan Soto last year was as good as it gets. This was as much fun. This was as like, wow. I kept looking at my kids, another one and another one. Like, we were having a great Saturday afternoon with all the home runs, so it was a lot of fun.
I agree with you.
But again, I don't know if it's the best three games they've ever had to start a year, at least for me, because I could look back at last year.
Most home runs they've ever hit in three games.
Correct.
It was the most home runs any major league team has hit in the first three games.
I believe in the first three, yes, that's correct, yes.
Yes. But the pitching, I don't know where that went. That wasn't the greatest.
No.
But that's okay. I mean, if this offense keeps going like this.
Yeah, I thought Carlos Rodon was very good. Other than that, no, they didn't pitch all that well. The bullpen was excellent. Right. But the starting pitching wasn't good.
No, I was expecting more from Fried. He should have been better, but whatever. It's his first game at Yankee Stadium. All right, whatever. That's fine. But the only thing I can't stand about you is when you talk about yourself.
That's weird. What's the matter? Well, I don't know. Why do you hate when I talk about myself?
Well, about your all league and all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who gives a shit? You know what? Well, I'm 57. Ooh, you're a lot younger than me.
Yeah.
You're a lot younger than me. Well, but I gave that up years and years ago.
Well, I'm not ready to give it up there, Pat. I'm sorry to upset you. But I was Athlete of the Year, Cary High School, 2001. That's it. So when I talk about myself every once in a while, I'm not being serious. Like, come on. What does that mean? I'm still, you know, still rolling up the window and getting the hell out of there when Boomer Esiason yells at me. Like, what do you think? Like, I'm not ready to take on the world. I'm just having a little fun about it. When you hate when I talk about myself. I love you and I hate you. I love when you talk Yankees, but God, when you waste our time with your personal crap, I can't stand you. Okay. I'm on 5 hours. What would you talk about, Pat and Astoria? Huh? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. A little bit more Yankees and the torpedo bats coming, of course. We'll get to the Mets in their series against the Houston Astros. An off day on a Sunday? What? And their upcoming series, which I think we can all just move on from the first series, but now they're going to play Miami, who's had three consecutive walk-off wins in the first series against Pittsburgh? Can't be losing series to Miami now. Can't be losing series to the Marlins. That offense better wake the hell up. Juan Soto, wake the hell up. That's a quote from Evan Roberts. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls. I got you for three more hours as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.